What do you do when you got nothing? That's the Gemara's question. What do you do when you got nothing? I have a Safik Mamun. I have an asset. It's not clear who owns it. There's no Mukhtuk and there's no Marakama. So what do you do? So that has been the focus of this Sugya. Lamed Al, Lamed Hey. After a brief foray, Lakav the Chagas Micha, into the world of Birkas HaTorah and Talmud Torah, we return to the question of Safik Mamun, and specifically of Safik Mamun without a Mukhtuk. Zemer Shalvosa, you have either a piece of real estate or a boat, and there's no Mukhtuk, there's no Marakama, because neither one has any evidence that he has personally had possession of it. No one has possession of it now. But each one claims that it's family property, and therefore he was the Yorish. So Reuven claims that the house or the field, the factory, the football field, whatever it is, or the boat, is his because it used to belong to his family, to Reuven's family. And Shimon says, no, it used to belong to my family, so it's mine. Zema Shavosa, Shem Shavosa, there's no Mukhsa, there's no Marakama. Rav Nachman had said, what? Rav Nachman had said, Kol Dalam Gvar. He said, Kol Dalam Gvar. And we're not going to chazer everything we spoke about 2 weeks ago, but we saw three major approaches and we showed him to how you understand Kol Dalam Gvar. For the Rashbam, it's that Bezin just stands back, make sure no one hurts each other. Obviously, we're not going to let anyone physically harm each other. But short of that, we have nothing intelligent to say. We don't get involved. Unless someone, either party, discovers evidence that's worthy of bringing to Bezin. Rush had said, in principle, we would say that. But Lamasa, we midra abanan, we freeze it after one round. Whoever grabs it first keeps it until whoever shows up, because there's a tikkun olam, we don't want to have ongoing meriva umadam. And then finally, the Rambam we had seen, if you read the Rambam slowly and carefully, the Rambam, it's not 100% clear whether the Rambam thinks that it freezes after the first person or not, but what he does seem to make pretty clear is once one person is mezgaber, the other, he becomes the muchzik. Now the other one, if Reuven seizes it, and now Shimon, we say to Shimon, Hamotzi Mechaber Alvarai. That's consistent with, again, the understanding of the Rambam, that Tfisa La'achar Leidas HaSafik can create a Muchzak. If you seize an item, you take possession of an item after we're already not sure who owns it, Tfisa La'achar Leidas HaSafik does create a Muchzak. That's what he says. Kol Dalam Gvar, not sure who owns the property. He says, calls us, basically declares Kol Dalam Gvar. And someone grabs it, so now he's the Mukhtuk. So again, that's Ramal Shitaso in the Sugya of Takva Kohen, Bavim Tia Davav, not for now. But whatever, however you understand exactly, Kol Dalam Gvar, Bezin is, to a greater or lesser extent, staying out of it. For both the Rashbam and the Rambam, they're really staying out of it, at least until someone becomes a Mukhtuk, or until someone comes up with evidence that needs to be, that can be brought to Bezin. And for Rush, fundamentally, Bezin wants to stay out of it. Practically, they can't mamash stay out of it because we're worried about Meriva, worried about ongoing machlokas. But as much as possible, we try to get involved in a very low-key way. We say, whoever is Muscabir freezes there. We're not going to make an overt call. And that was the Gemara's first kasha. Why don't you make an overt call? Shnei Shtaris, the Sugi and Ksubis, Dafzadi Dalid, Rav and Shmuel had a machlokas. Well, you have another case where there's no muchzik, there's no marakama, but you have a property that used to belong to Levi. Reuven and Shimon each claim to have bought it from Levi. Each one has a shtar attesting that he bought it from Levi. The shtaras are dated the same date. So either Reuven is a crook and forged a shtar, or Shimon is a crook and forged a shtar. That doesn't seem to be likely. What seems to be likely is that Levi is a crook. And he sold the karka to one and then pretended to sell it to the other one. Pretended because he got real money, but he didn't actually give anything for the money because he no longer owned the property. The question is, l'chora, this is the Derech HaMelech, and we saw other Rishonim, different Rishonim, different ways of reading it. But the Derech HaMelech is that we're talking about a Mechira, not a Bashtar Chov, and it's a real Suffolk. We're really not sure. We're not sure who bought the karka first, presumably whoever bought the karka first owns it. And again, the Gemara Ksubas had said that brings into the world Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Meir. We're not going to jump back into that now. The question of how Kenyan Shtar works, the world of Eidei Chasima Karsi, Eidei Mesira Karsi. But the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Eliezer, Eidei Mesira Karsi, whoever's Shtar came first wins. Or whoever's Shtar came first is the true owner. We just don't know who's first, who's second. And then we did not say Kal Dangar. We said, Shmuel said Shuda, and that's Shmuel's way of dealing with Safik. Rav says Yachloku. Tosas had pointed out that the Gemara Ksubas has a bit of a machlokas later Amoran. Is Rav saying Yachloku because he thinks that's the din, that the two stars were hauled together, or is that his way of dealing with Safik? Okay. Whatever it is, the Gemara is asking, neither one said Kal Dangar. Maybe it should be Shuda, maybe it should be Yachloku, perhaps, but not Kal Dangar. So that had been the Gemara's first kash, and we saw the Gemara's first tart. The answer was, Shuda, Yachloku, those are real statements by the Beis Din. The Beis Din is comfortable making if we're just done with the discovery process. If Lekel and Mekel and the Milsa, we don't anticipate any more evidence, then we'll say, Yachloku, Shuda, we'll say something. We'll make a call. But Kal Dam Gvar, it's Ikel and Mekel and the Milsa. We're still open to new evidence. Who knows who's going to show up, who remembers that one of the grandfathers used to live here. So if it's still open, there's no mukhtak, there's no marakam, there's no real evidence. We don't have anything, we don't have a shtar, we don't really have anything to go on. So yes, it's true, Bezin Esed may have to do, there may be value to Bezin doing something. So you don't have endless meriva. But on the other hand, Bezin is not going to take a stand based on nothing. And then a week later, you look like a fool because real Eidim show up. So according to Rashbam and Rambam, Beis Din Mamash doesn't get involved. According to Rash, they get a little bit involved, but in a very low-key way. We wouldn't say Shuda, we wouldn't say Yachok. And now the Gemara, now we're up to the second Kash in the Gemara. Maishna mehadisnan. Maishna mehadisnan. But what's the difference from the following Mishnah? Hamachah Parbach Amar Mishnah is Baruch Hashem is very familiar to us from earlier in the year. Mishnah Bavantia Dav Kuf Machah Parbach Amar V'Yalda. He did a Kinyan Chalipin. The par was a par Muberes, and we were off on the donkey farm, and Reuven takes Shimon's donkey, and in return for which Reuven is Kona Shimon's donkey with a Kinyan Mashiach, let's say, in return for which at that moment Shimon is thereby Kona Reuven's para. With a king Chalipin. But neither one is there. And now they travel to Reuven's cow farm for Shimon to pick up his para. And lo and behold, the para is no longer Muberes. The para is given birth. And we're not sure, or Mo Shivchasta Vyelda. Same thing by a Shivcha. And now we're not sure who owns the Vlad. Zeramat Shalom Macharti Yalda. The Mocher says, the Leda happened before the king Chalipin, therefore I retain ownership. It wasn't included in the Kenyan. No. Bishas Kenyan was still Muberes, so it was included in the Kenyan, and I own the Vlad. And the Mishnah said, what? Yachloku. The Mishnah said, Yachloku. I'll come here, we say Yachloku over there, we don't say Yachloku. Why don't we say Yachloku over there? The guard gives an answer, we'll get to, about the Durara de Mimona. The Yachloku of the Mishnah is because of the unique quality. To the case of Machapar Bachamar, there's a Durara de Mimona. And it's the Durara de Mimona, literally the connection to the money that the parties have, and that's what's driving the Achloku. Over in that other case, there's no Durara de Mimona, so that's why we don't say the Achloku. That's why we don't say Achloku. So there are two major problems. We'll get to the Tariq, but in the Kasha, you saw there's a couple of major problems we've shown and raised. Yeah, Ralph.
This is unrelated to that, a separate question, but why isn't this question seemingly stronger? Because it's like,
Good question. So Rav is actually asking very important questions that will help us zero in on the dynamics of the Gemara, will help us dig in further. So Rav is asking, this second question is a kasha on an amora from a Tana, from a Mishnah, not from a Mishnah, from a Stam Mishnah. So it seems like it's a particularly strong kasha. So number one, why don't we ask this kasha first? And we should ask the first kasha second. Shnei Shtaris is from Amoram. And then Rafi is, not only should we have downgraded, so to speak, the kasha Shnei Shtaris, we should have put it second because it's merely from Amoram. Maybe we shouldn't have asked it at all. What's wrong? So is that Rav Nachman disagrees with Shmuel? Rav Nachman disagrees with Rav. Let's answer your second question first, even though it's usually not Derech Chachma. But here it is because your first kasha really sits on your second kasha. It's not a. You're right that a kasha from a Tana is stronger than a kasha from Amora. But we do find other places where the Gemara will ask from an earlier Amora on a later Amora. And that's what's happening here. Rav Nachman is a generation or so after Rav and Shmuel. And you're right, the Gemara could have answered. It's Machlokes. And sometimes the Gemara will assume. I mean, in many thousands of places in Shas, the Gemara assumes you have Machlokes even between different generations. Machlokes, Abai and Rav Yosef, Rabbi Talmud. Yeah, I have that all the time. And so you could have Machlokes Shmuel or Rav Nachman. You will find that. So here the Gemara did not see that as a natural solution. Either because we don't assume machlokas, when possible, and the Gemara could have given that answer, but we had a better teretz, or perhaps we were never 100% sure what sort of, masoros balpeh the later Amoraim had about the text that they were using. But you get the impression often that the later Amoraim had certain traditions about the Mishnahs, had certain traditions about the earlier Amoraim. It seems as though they had it, and that's probably what's to explain many of these nuances. But here they had a tradition that Rav Nachman was not disagreeing with Rav and Shmuel. It could be that's what's driving it, or it's not our default. Our default is not must be machlokas. Our default is let's see if we can work it out. And here there is a very attractive answer, and that then brings us back. Now that this kasha is at least a acceptable kasha. Not only is it acceptable, but it even comes first for one of two reasons. And this is really going to feed into what we need to think about. One possibility is that you think about the flow of the Gemara, right? The Gemara first had a Habru Nachman. Actually, you know what? The first answer I have to why this question comes second is that it's not really, perhaps, such a super strong kasha. It is from Mishnayos, but on the other hand, as Tosfos is going to point out, it's actually machlokas atanan. So it's not initially 100% clear. It's more of a nuanced kasha. And the other point that's worth making is just think about the flow of the Gemara. I said Rav Nachman says Kol Damavar. So we had a kasha. You may remember this chart. Had a kasha. I want to do with the Shnei Shtaris case, where Rav and Shmuel say Haluka, they say Shuda, and Shuda gets Shita Shmuel. That's probably the stronger kasha is from Shmuel, presumably, because Machlokes Rav and Shmuel Dina Mamas passed like Shmuel. Right? So what was the answer? The answer was we say these by Lekha Lameka. The case is closed. Case is closed, that's why we say Shuda Yachloku. But if it's Ikha Lameka, the case is still open. Still an open case, so then Kol Damavar. Right? What's now the kasha from Machlokes Par B'Chamor? Machlokes Par B'Chamor fits into which side of this?
It's an open case.
Right? It's an open case, right? It's up. So he says now the kasha is now. You're right. We've divided all cases of Safek Mamon, or specifically all cases of Safek Mamon that have no Muchzuk and no Marakama and no evidence. you could divide that universe of cases into lekalamekam and ikalamekam. The other guy's kasha is, yeah, but even within the world of ikalamekam, what are you going to do with machla par bahamar? Even there, you say yachloku. So that's why it comes second, because it builds off of the teretz to the first kasha. First we said, oh, we could divide it into lekalamekam, ikalamekam. We say, yeah, that's that. Is that, that's your answer? What is ikalamekam? And still we don't say kol da'angvar. That's what they were forcing him to make another cut of dror de b'mona. So that's the simplest reason for why the cases are organized the way they are is because of the logical flow. We're taking all the cases. We used the first terrace was a lop off, ignore all the cases of lekalamekam. Say, yeah, but even within the ikalamekam, even on this side of the border, we still have to deal with the ziyach loku here too. We have the Mishnah. So that's why logically it came second. Now, what I just told you is the Pashut Pshat in the Gemara, in terms of the flow, right? That the second kasha was, as you said, see, that the case of Machapar Bachamar is the case of Ika Lameka Mala Demilsa. Most Rishonim do read it that way. Not all. Who doesn't? There's a Yesh Mefarshim in the Rashbam. The Rashbam quotes, there are Rishonim who are different from the Gemara. He doesn't like it, but it raises an interesting point. There were Rishonim who thought that Machal Par Bachamar is actually over here. There were Rishonim who thought that Machal Par Bachamar is an attack on Shuda Didaini. There were Rishonim at the bottom of the page. Good. So the Rishonim said, here, the bottom of the Rashbam, Ida Marlo Damar, V'yesh Mefarshim. Some explain, 5 lines off the bottom, Hayu Maishno Me'amachlef, etc. Da'ad Shmuel Parech. They're asking Shmuel, Deka'amar Shuda. Shmuel says Shuda D'daini. Why did you rejected Rav's Chalukah? How do you reject Rav's Chalukah? Rav is your peer. You could disagree with Rav. But the Mishnah says Yachloku. Don't be so quick to reject Chalukah. Ha-ha-chazin Yachloku. Ha-ha-chazin Yachloku. So the Rashbam said there were Rishonim, Yesh Mefarshim, there were anonymous Rishonim, within Rashbam anonymous, there were Rishonim who thought that we're actually asking him Shmuel. And then the flow, in other words, that there were Rishonim who thought that it's not a second Kasha of Nachman. We asked the Kasha of Nachman from Shmuel, we answered it, then we asked the Kasha of Shmuel. There were Rishonim who said that. Rashbam says, it's not the Pshat. And he says, how do I know? He says, well, that's not the Pshat or Gemara. Eina Shitas HaGemara. That's not the smooth way to read, the methodical way to read the Gemara. The B'ksubas, Perek Mishai Nosui, Isa, Iker Mil Sayu, the Rav and Shmuel. He says, Rav and Shmuel come up here as a sidebar. They just mention here as a Kashan or Nachman. Here the focus is Rav Nachman. The focus on Rav and Shmuel is the Sugi and Ksubas Tzadi Dalet, which we saw a couple weeks ago. And Baruch Hashem Pirchei Achrini. There we ask other kashas, but not this. U'mehacha lo parech. We didn't ask if it's a kasha on Shmuel. We should have raised the kasha from Machla Par Bachamar in the Sugya Ksubet Saidon. If we're only raising it here, it's probably a kasha on Rav Nachman. But that does raise the first kasha that Rishonim have here. On the first kasha we shall have the Gemara's kasha, which is why don't we ask it on Shmuel? The Rashbam said that the Rishonim Taka read the Gemara that's an attack on Shmuel, and that's not Pasha Pshat. So the Rishonim, almost all the Rishonim agree that's not actually part of the Gemara. When the Gemara asked Machapar Bachamar, the standard approach to Rishonim is not like the Ish Mefarshim Rashba. The standard approach we've shown him is it's a second kasha of Nachman, the way we said before. But then many we've shown a wonder, but why isn't it a kasha and Shmuel? The Gemara's kavana was, in terms of Perisha Gemara, the Gemara was asking a kasha of Nachman. But Taka, why isn't it a kasha and Shmuel? Taka, why isn't it a kasha and Shmuel? Why isn't it a kasha and Shmuel? It should be a kasha and Shmuel. Did you see any Rishon who raised this problem? How would Rashbam just say in the bottom? He said, "Well, that's not what our Gemara is asking, because if that's what our Gemara is asking, it would have come over there." Okay, so that's just a little parsha of how you read the words of the Gemara. But Taka, in terms of the ideas, moving away from the language of the Gemara to the ideas, is Taka interesting kasha? How does Shmuel explain why he chose Shuda over Yachloku if the Mishnah chooses Yachloku? So a couple of Rishonim deal with this. At least three. Tosfos. And Rabbeinu Yonah. Let's take a look at Rabbeinu Yonah. Rama Arayin Kukin. Open Rabbeinu Yonah. What does he say? Rabbeinu Yonah says what gives a teretz, and he also says a teretz that he doesn't think is good. Here's a teretz I don't think is good. Here's a teretz I think is good. Let's take a look inside. Here we are, page Kuf Samach Aleph. Umayshna. This is where Yonah on the kasha. Umayshna at the Samach Aleph Bachamo. So halfway down, he opens by demonstrating that Malchah Parah B'Chamor is a case of Ikka L'Meikam Ala D'Milsa. There is more evidence. As Tzvi said, the Rabbein Yonah agrees with Tzvi. And he opens by saying, Hasam Ikka L'Meikam Ala D'Milsa. Malchah Parah B'Chamor is Ikka L'Meikam. That's why it's over here. It's on this side of the line, and that's why it's a valid kasha and a benachman. Shem Yeshayim Mishyodah Vezah Shayodah. There may well be Edom who saw Reuven and Shimon, the Mochel Okech. They were both elsewhere at the donkey farm. They don't necessarily know who was on the cow farm. So they don't necessarily know who might be the Edom waiting in the wings to come out and say, we know what time the parah gave birth. If Edom will come and say, we looked at our watches, we were there when the parah delivered the egel, and we checked our watches, so then we'll figure out whether before or after the Shas Kinyan. V'achshav ein ha-moch v'lokeach. Moch v'lokeach don't know who were there b'shash yelda, because they weren't there. V'lo dami l'shei shtaris yosem yach. I say it's the same as shei shtaris. No, they're also, it's one event. You know who the Edom are. So I want to say they're also, maybe someone's going to show up who will remember the shnei shtaris. Reuven was there at one sale. Shimon was there at the other sale. Say, well, it probably, maybe you did a public sale in the street and there were random people walking by. It could be, but usually a real estate transaction, it happens in an office. It happens in a private place. There are a couple of people. The broker is there. Bizman hazeh. The lawyers are there. The broker is there. Maybe some represented the bank if it's a big deal. Usually just the lawyer represents the bank. And then the Mochel Lokeach. You don't do a real estate transaction out in the open with random people walking by. He says, whoever his minu, whoever they invited to be there. And we may have invited Edom to be there and to watch the Mesiras Hashtar. They know who the Edom are. It's a closed set of people. Here's what Rabbeinu Yonah says out what we've been talking about. Right, Shnei Shtaros, we know it's a close set of potential Edom. So presumably they already exhausted them. They reached out to all the potential Edom. We know who they are. Either they don't remember, or they're not available, or they're no longer with us, whatever it is. But the Macha Par Bachamar, the Mocher Lokeach, weren't there B'Shas Leis Apar. That's the whole point. They weren't there, so who knows who may have been there. That's what how Rabbi Yonah opens. And again, that lends more strength to the Rashbam's rejection of the Yesh Mefarshim. That the Gemara was not asking a Kasha. The Gemara's Kasha from Mach Bar Bachamar, they weren't trying to ask on Shmuel. They're trying to ask on Shmuel, it would have to be that Mach Bar Bachamar is Lekulamekam. Okay. That would be the flow of the Gemara. But now, but the Rabbi Yonah does raise the question a couple lines down. Vav Kuf Lamed. The Kashili. You have it inside. Maishna Demai. Now, a number of guys were grappling with how to read this. So let's read and let's figure it out. Maishna Demakshin Adrev Nachme Hadamachapar Bachamar Yolda. Okay. So, in terms of what the Gemara was saying Akasha on Rav Nachman from Machapar Bachamar. But why was that our only Kasha? We should have. Okay, we didn't ask on Shmuel, but we should have asked on Shmuel. Isn't it a good kasha also? They're both good kashas. The Mishnah of Machpar Bachamar appears to be both a kasha of Nachman, who says Kol Dam Gvar, and a kasha on Shmuel, who says Shuda Dedaini. Why didn't we raise this question? The Ein Lachalik Beneim Dahasam Lekel Mekam of the Milsoacha Ikel Mekam. I'll say, well, the obvious answer is. You already said we don't say Kol Dam Gvar by Ikel and Mekam. The same thing with Yachlok said, nah, that doesn't make a lot of sense. The Kevin Dav Dina Dina the Chaluka for the Hecha the Ikel and Mekam of the Milsa. He says the Gemara was saying if it's Lekel and Mekam, but the case of Kol Dam Gvar, we really shouldn't get involved. We shouldn't really give any din. Just call down guard. Just back off. Okay, but the Mishnah isn't saying that. The Mishnah is saying Yachloku. The Mishnah is saying you should get involved. So once you're getting involved, came and davdin din chaluku. Since we are giving a real din, we're giving a real psak Yachloku. I feel hechad ikol mekam on the milsa. The Mishnah is ikol mekam on the milsa. We're still giving a psak. So then, according to Shmuel, havle meba badin teshuda l'Shmuel. According to Shmuel's logic. That Shuda is a better solution than Yachloku. Why does the Mishnah say Yachloku? It should say Shuda. Kare kishano om Yachloku postkano din bedavar. Kemoim nomar Shuda. Yachloku and Shuda Daini are both a din. So if you're comfortable giving the din of Yachloku, you should be comfortable giving the din of Shuda. So again, Rabbi Yonah is very clearly, step by step, laying out this question. How could the Gemara had a gevald to Gakash from Machabar Bachamar? Against Rav Nachman, why don't we also ask against Shmuel? We didn't ask against Shmuel, but why? Isn't it a great kasha? And don't tell me ikel mekam, lekel mekam. That doesn't hold water. So Rabbeinu Yonah then says, he says, well, so that would have been a first possibility is ikel mekam, lekel mekam, but that he doesn't like. What does he like? What does he like? So he says, ah. L'shmuel lekel akshir mihad desnaam achapar b'chamar v'yalda. You know why? D'ha'asikna b'perik mishay enosu tainoi. He says, ah. It's because if you look back at that Gemara in Ksubas, the Gemara already said that there are tanoim who hold like Rav, there are tanoim who hold like Shmuel. Okay, so that's the answer. You're right. Machapar Bachamar would have been a kasha on Shmuel, but Shmuel has other Tanaim who say Shuda Dedaini. Okay, so we already know it's the Machlokas HaTanaim. Machlokas HaRam, the Machlokas HaTanaim. Ikulman Damar Shuda Adifa. We know there are Tanaim who hold Shuda Adifa. We know there are Tanaim who hold Chaluk Adifa. So you find another Tanaim who holds Chaluk Adifa. Shkayach. It's already a pre-existing Machlokas HaTanaim. So at that point, Shmuel has the right to decide which approach in Tanaim he's gonna take. Hilkach, that's therefore, Hadik Asani Hacha Yachaloku, Savra Lakaman Damar, Chaluka Adifa. So Shmuel would say, yeah, okay, you have a Mishnah above Mitzvah Dav Kuf, Machapar Bachamar, I said, Yachaloku, I know! So That Mishnah belongs to that team of Tanaim that say we prefer Chalukah. Okay, Shmuel says, I know there are Tanaim on both sides. I know how I paskin. That's Rabbeinu Yonah's answer. Don't ask on Shmuel. Why? Because he has Tanaim who support him. So how about why is it a good kasher of Nachman? Not everyone holds of Yachloku. Why was it a good kasher of Nachman in that case? Because no Tana says Kodam Gvar. Shmuel will say, look, I know there are Tanaim who say in this sort of open-ended case to say Yachloku, and there are other Tanaim who say Shur the Dining. So if Rav Nachman had Tanaim who said Kodam Gvar, that'd be great, and then we're good. The problem is he doesn't have that. So you have a Tana against you, and you have no Tana in your favor. Now you're really stuck. What's he going to do? That's what's really strong kasha of Nachman. It should be noted that there's one other solution to this problem of why didn't we ask on Shmuel? There's one other solution that only one Rishon could give. Rabbeinu Yonah couldn't have given it. Rashbam. What does Rashbam say? Rashbam has a footnote. He's a little confusing the Rashbam. We read before the last five lines on the Yomid in Dira Maskel E Damar, where he quotes there are Yesh Mefarshim, there were Rishon who reinterpreted the Gemara as being Akasha and Shmuel, but we don't accept that. But earlier in the previous Dira Maskel Hassam, he takes like a footnote for a few lines to address this kasha. Why Taka isn't it Akasha on Shmuel? To take a look in Dir Maskel Hassam, now we're like 9 lines from the bottom. The end of the line in the Rashbam. The middle of Dir Maskel Hassam in the Rashbam. Veshuda didaini, the line ends with Veshuda didaini. Veshuda didaini lekala me marhacha. Afil l'shmuel. You wouldn't say Shuda didaini by Machapar Bachamar, even according to Shmuel. In other words, Rashbam is very subtly asking this question. Rabbeinu Yonah was very explicit. This is a kasha v'im tomar v'kashuli. He built it out. Rashbam is just, saying it's not a kasha. It's very subtle, but as you'll see, the Rashbam, the end of Dir Maskel Hassam is dealing with the same kasha that the Rabbeinu Yonah is dealing with. V'shuda d'daini lekelanek me'mach afil l'shmuel. You wouldn't say Shuda didaini by Machal Par Bachamar, even according to Shmuel. According to Rav, it's great. Again, according to Rav, you say Yachaloku by Shnei Shtaros, and the Mishnah says Yachaloku by Machal Par Bachamar. Givaldik. How about Shmuel? So he says, no. Shmuel would never argue for Shuda didaini by Machal Par Bachamar. Why? The Lo Shayach Lameimer Ela Gabi Matana L'Shnayim. You could only say it by present to two people. Sheyiru Beizinli Oev Yoser. The other day, Gamer Makni. By a matana to two people, Beizin could try to assess who did the Nosei Matana, who did the giver like more, he probably gave it to that one. As opposed to Machapar Bachamar, where there's no evidence to look at. It has nothing to do with who liked more. There's no way to make an educated guess. This is a terza only Rashbam would give because Rashbam is one of the few Rishon who holds. Right, the Shuda Daini, where we had that machlokas Rashbam and Tosus. What does Shuda Daini mean? Remember, Rashbam had said that Shuda Daini means Bezin has to try to assess what's the truth, make an educated guess what's probably true. Right, Tosus said, no, Bezin just has to make a call. Better to make a call than to have ongoing machlokas, just make a call. So, and the Tosus already raised the top of the Amud. How's that going to work? In this case, that case, the Tosus had explained how it's possible that in the previous case, the Shnei Shtaros, there might be something for Bezin to make an educated guess about. You could see, as he had said, Lemi Nira Amiti Bidvarim Yoser. Who seems more authentic and genuine? Either Tosis meant, which of them seems like a more honest person, or which scenario is more likely? Right? Because again, over there by the Shnei Shtaros, each one is making a claim. Each one claims, I got it first. It's likely. Each one says, I was in the morning. So no, it's likely that whoever is telling the truth knows he's telling the truth. Whoever's lying knows that he's lying. And that's also true. By the Kol Da'am Gvar case, each one knows who's telling the truth and who's lying. One of you knows that you're making up a story, probably. So Bezin could try to assess by Kol Da'am Gvar that Gvar's kasha was, want to say Shuvah D'Dayni, why not try to figure out Reuben and Shimon, who seems like he's a more honest person? Or want to figure out which scenario is a more likely scenario? Reuben's family owning the boat or Shimon's family owning the boat? Reuben's family owning the farm or Shimon's family owning the farm? You may have to do with how expensive it was. It may have to do with lifestyles. Reuben's family, they were sailors. Shimon's family were not sailors. They're more or less likely to have a boat. Who owns the property in Idaho? We know that Reuben's family used to live in Idaho. We have no evidence that Shimon's family used to live in Idaho. It could be they invested in a potato farm, but more likely there's Reuben's family. Right? So however you understand it, Tosa already said that it is possible to apply Rashbam's concept of Shuda D'Daini to Zeh Moshe Lavosai. And indeed, the Rashbam does say earlier that the Kasha on Rav Nachman was from both Shuda and Yachloku. But here, Rashbam says, it's impossible. Neither one. Number one, it's in the Gemara's discussion. It may be that neither one claims for sure to know the truth. And we've been explaining the Gemara throughout as Shema Vashema. Right? Maybe the Parah gave birth first. Maybe the Parah gave birth second. We didn't really know. We were away. We were by the donkeys. We weren't by the cow. So, and we're basically making an assessment. When was the Parah more likely to have been born? We probably don't have a lot to go on. So that's what Rashbam says. If you understand like the Rashbam, the Shuda D'Daini means make an assessment what's probably the truth. There's no way to make an assessment. The Rashbam says, of course we're not, this is not Shver on Shmuel. Shmuel agrees, if you can't make a Shuda, then you say Yachloku. Sure. By Shnei Shtars, you can make a Shuda. By Mach Baruch Hu, no Shuda to make. So that's why the Rashbam is not Akashi B'Chalal, Lushitaso. And Rabbi Yonah doesn't hold on to Rashbam, but he holds like Tosus. So he's Taka bothered. Taka, why isn't it Akasha and Shmuel? And he said, don't tell me Ikkel make him, Lekka make him, but rather, because we already know we have Machlokas HaTana, Meshuda, or Chalukah. That's already there in the Gemara and Ksubas. So this is one more Tana that holds Chalukah. Okay. That's not going to shake Shmuel. He knows there are Tana who disagree with him, and he has Tana who agree with him. So he follows this approach, this group of time, not that group of time. So that again, let's just recap where we are. We've been focused for this morning on the Gemara's second Kasha. We'll get to the Teretz Mitzvah tomorrow. The Teretz of Dror Demona, which they require a little, very fascinating. A lot to think about. But for now, we're focused on the Gemara's Kasha. And we had said that we showed him deal with two problems with the Gemara's Kasha. And so far we dealt with the first one, and let's at least introduce, if not complete, the second one. The first problem again was it sort of came in two forms. Is the Gemara's Kasha against Rav Nachman or Shmuel ambiguous? The majority of Rishonim understand it's a Kasha against Rav Nachman. The Rashbam said to Feirsh, there was a Yesh Mefarshim, it's a Kasha, and Shmuel, he doesn't like it. But that raises a second interesting logical question. Well, it should be a kasha. We should ask a kasha on Shmuel. Okay, the Gemara didn't. Why don't we? And to that we saw three answers. Rabbi Yonah suggested Ikkel make him, Lekkel make him. That's the difference. He doesn't like it so much. He does like the other teretz that he gave, which is it's not a kasha on Shmuel because he has other tanam who support him. It's a kasha on Nachman because he has no tanam who support him. And then the third answer to this question of why not ask on Shmuel is the question of the Rashbam. L'shitas Rashbam, the Shuda D'Daini has to do with trying to, not just making a call, but trying to make an educated guess. It's not really relevant by Malchut Parah B'Chamah. There is no educated guess to make. There's nothing to go on. So Shmuel is not surprised that there's no Shuda by Malchut Parah B'Chamah. So that was the first angle of attack that Rishonim have in thinking about the Gemara's Kasha. The other angle of attack is what Tosus focuses on, the bottom Tosus, and that was a question of, it seems like a shiloh, but it's really a kasha. What was the shaila which Tosis seems to open? They say it's not a shaila. Who do we passen like? Machloksim with Achamim. Who do we passen like? You'll remember, by the way, that when we learned Bava Kama Daf Memvav a couple weeks ago, the Tosas there had said, and Memvav Rav said, oh, Subchas Achamim. But the Gemara mentioned Subchas Achamim. The Tosas says, you might wonder how we passen. I'll get to it in Cheskes Avatim. Tosas says, I'll be Marach in Cheskes Avatim. So here we are. Cheskes Avatim. He says, B'shmaitim called Dalangvar. In the Subchas called Dalangvar, we're going to have to deal with it. And so over there in Bava Kama and Bava, it's a one-line thesis. Here, he has more than one line dealing with it. And you'll notice also that he, Tosis seems to raise it initially as a shaila, but really it's a kasha. And let's just see that for now. We'll deal with Tosis' response, which I'm tomorrow, we'll start with that tomorrow. But let's at least lay out the issue. Tosis raises as a shaila. I mean, a shaila means a question of information. No, not a problem. Just we're wondering. Ein lo chiyach mikan dalacha kesimchas. Seems very low key. There's no proof from here that we pass like simchas. In other words, what Tosis is saying is you could have said, I see from here we pass like simchas. No, let me explain how the Gemara works. How would I have seen why? What's the indication in the Gemara that we pass like simchas? Because you have to marry together two Gemaras. If you learn Bava Basra Lamed Hey in the context of Bava Metzia Dav Kuf, which Tosa doesn't really tell you to do, but you and I already did a couple weeks ago, do you already come in knowing, if you learn the Gemara on that mission that we're quoting, you know that the Gemara says that they achok is sumchas. Chacham would have said, what? Why? Because would have said, who's the mukzuk? The Marakama. If the sumchas ignores it. So it's only Samchas. So I would have said, if I know the Gemara here just quotes the Mishnah, if you learn the Gemara there, you know that Mishnah is only Lufi Samchas, and the Gemara is asking Kasha Rav Nachman, hey Rav Nachman, why don't you say Yachloku? After all, the Mishnah says Yachloku. The Mishnah is only Samchas. What type of Kasha is that? The Chum didn't say Yachloku. So offhand, the Gemara is really, sounds like it's assuming we should pass like Samchas. So that's why Tosis said, no, let me explain to you, we'll get to that tomorrow, how you could read our Gemara in a way that's not just Lefi Simchus. But it's important to point out, and I'll leave you with this, and this often happens in Tosis, the Kasha, it's not just a calm, bland Shaila. We're bothered. But Tosis doesn't explain why till later. Later they tell you, there are Gemaras that indicate we don't pass like Simchus. That's why it's a Kasha. I don't understand. In Bava Kama, Bava sounds like you pass like the Chachamim. But here it sounds like you pass like Simchus. Whoa! A Stira! That's what Tosa says. No. It's not a steer. It's not a kasha. Let me explain to you how to reread our Gemara. Tomorrow. I'm glad to stick around for questions.